This is Chapel for Tuesday, November 11th. Dr. John Carlton, Professor of Preaching, and Dr. Michael Hahn, Associate Professor of Church Music, with Cantata Choir.
Let us stand. Everlasting God, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, glorious in holiness, full of love and compassion, abundant in grace and truth. All thy works praise thee in all places of thy dominion. Thy glory is revealed in Jesus Christ, thy Son. Grant us now to sense thy presence and power, that illumined by thy Spirit, we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us join together in the unison prayer of confession. O God Most High, whose dwelling is the light of setting suns, whose glory shines beyond the farthest star, and in the humblest soul thou hast redeemed, we gather in faith to hear thy voice. We confess before thee the blindness and perversity that keep us from choosing life. Thou, O Lord, knowest us altogether, that we are prone to evil and slothful in good. We acknowledge, our Father, that often we are too proud to weep, too grim to laugh, too stubborn to repent, too self-centered to love. Out of our littleness, lift us into the light of thy presence and into the larger fellowship of thy children. Strengthen us by our life together to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk in fellowship with thee, our God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. in John Buchan's autobiography entitled Pilgrim's Way, he says that when he went to London to study law, he took lodgings in Temple Gardens, where in the ebbing light of day, he could look out and see the Thames and hear the call of the wild birds in their flight upstream. There he found blessed release from his former dingy and inhospitable quarters that had afforded him no prospect but chimneys. A parable of life, isn't it? We're all caught in the long littleness of our passing days, so that we often feel that tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day till the last syllable of recorded time. There is something in the human soul that seeks the enlargement of life in God. And yet the hallmark of our time today is a sustained monotony and boredom and tedium. Within and around us, we have a kind of noonday torpor, the dying of the embers, the slow, smokeless burning of decay. We see it in the lackluster face of the pedestrian, the vacant stare, the superficial laughter, the expressionless face. We dream of so much, and we settle for so little. We talk of large meanings and accept the pittance of the moment. We frantically seek our panaceas in self-interest, possessions, and popularity. And no wonder these illusory pursuits end at the aspirin box. But beneath it all, the running seems to have no meaning, and the doing is too shallow. No wonder then life becomes for us weary, flat, stale, and unprofitable. And yet, can it be that this tedium is good news? Is it the proof of our higher heredity and our larger destiny? Is it a sign from the soul itself of an unquenchable hunger for the infinite? Is it the penalty that life puts on our withheld affection and detachment from life participation? Frank Lloyd Wright was a great architect, but when he spoke on matters of religion, he was often less than inspired. He once said that our public rooms should be only about 12 feet high, so that the people in them would not feel inferior or insignificant. Now, surely that is dribble. Who wants that kind of ceiling over life? Our majestic cathedrals, with their soaring arches, lift us to significance and meaning. The terrible heresy of our time is that everything has to be scaled down to our understanding and experience. The height to which we grow is commensurate with our vision, and today we have set the ceiling too low for our stature. This is precisely why the human creature needs worship, for this is the recovery and the renewal of our being by setting life in its ultimate context. It is our habitual and purposeful referring of all life to God. Now, the commonplace events of life always point to something beyond themselves. There is something oceanic about our human venture. The little rivers that cross our continents flow inevitably into a wider sea. From the songless egg in the nest of the little bird, there comes at last the music of the lark. In the little things of life, there's an element of prophecy. Could anything be more marvelous than the developing eye in the embryo of a little child in a mother's womb? No light has ever fallen there in the unbroken darkness. No scenes are there for that little developing eye to look upon. But that eye is in preparation for a world invisible and yet unvisited. That developing eye is a dependable prophecy of life, for there is a world where light reigns and beauty waits. No wonder the Apostle Paul could say, "What no eye has ever seen, what no ear has ever heard, what has never entered into the mind of man, that God has prepared for those who love him." Now look at these magnificent phrases being sung here today. They rise up like alpine peaks from the flat plains of life. Father everlasting, Christ the King of glory, company of apostles, fellowship of prophets, army of martyrs, holy church. The writer of Psalm 90 has eyes on two worlds, that insubstantial pageant of our mortal years, filled, as he says, with toil and trouble, but also that purposeful presence of God as the marvelous background of life. We are being reminded here today in this music that life is lived under vast horizons, that tedium is redeemed in Te Deum. Without transcendence, day follows day in sterile circularity. We go to our work like the quarry slave at night, scourged to his dungeon. Little Emily Dickinson, sitting secluded in her room in New England, wrote a priceless line: "The only news I know is bulletins all day from immortality." What news? The great Augustine saw life apart from a transcendent God as dispersed and divided. In a memorable line, he says, "I was collected from the dispersion in which I turned from thee, the one, and was vainly divided." Our ultimate wisdom can be found in the prophet Micah: "Come, let us go to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we might walk in his paths." Tedium or Te Deum?
Oh.
Unto God's gracious mercy and protection we commit you, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.